Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
And we're clear.
Hello, horny babies, and welcome to another episode of Mike Check, the only podcast that goes through the entire filmography of Mr. Mike Myers just to check if it is still shagadelic, baby. My name is Alexi Toliopoulos, and with me as always is Cameron James.
Hello, it's great to be here. We are now living in a post-Love Guru world. This is our first ep since our historic live episode of The Love Guru. And how are you feeling, Lex? Are you feeling different at all? You're a changed man?
I feel different. I feel like I've come to terms with The Love Guru and what it means to me and what it means to now be a guy that's seen it 4.5 times walking around this earth alone in this world. And I feel happy, and especially feel even happier now having seen the 2008 MTV Movie Awards hosted by Mr. Mike Myers.
This is crazy. We are traveling back in time a week before The Love Guru came out for this
2 weeks. This happened on June 1st.
A fortnight.
And Love Guru was released on June 20th.
Oh, wow. How very exciting. We've decided to go back to this specific day in history because, well, this is a time before Mike knew how the world was going to react to his latest creation. He's still very much in plug mode. He's in media mode. He's up there on the stage, treading the boards, strutting his stuff to try and get the word about The Love Guru out
there. He does state that this is live, which, as we all know, live TV is Mike's milieu, baby, as he's said in the past. So he should be going great in this thing.
He never said the phrase live from New York.
Because it's from Los Angeles, the city of angels.
And we decided to bring a special guest onto today's episode, a guest who was in fact supposed to be joining us for The Love Guru Live.
And live is their milieu, baby. That's why we got them in for this episode too.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the pod one of the horniest babies, one of our favorite and most lovingly returning guests, Ben Russell, everybody.
Ben Russell, thank you so much for joining us one more time.
I am excited to be here and I'm feeling very horny.
Can I just paint a picture to the listeners out there? Ben and I are both holding the microphones, Good Morning Vietnam style.
And I am reaching up to a desk with a mic that's slightly too tall for me, so I'm a little tiptoeing up to the mic here. But I still feel just as strong as either of you boys.
Cameron looks like he's Jeff Foxworthy at his prime. Feels like he's just doing...
I'm wearing flannel and I have a bit of a moustache at the moment.
Looks like at any point.
And I'm wearing blue jeans.
If you've got shoes on your lawn, you might be a redneck.
I would love to have my own version of that bit, but it would be called You Might Be Horny. And it's just me describing ways that people might be horny. If you have a little trickle down your inner thigh, you might be horny.
That's good. I think
it's going to work. It's going to work.
All right, I'll try it out in the clubs of Greenwich Village. I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, man, as you may have noticed, I was radio silent for approximately 1 minute. I just forgot to put on my Austin Power Spy Shag Me hat. The hat is now on, and the podcast may officially commence.
So thank you so much for joining us today, Ben. Thank you, I appreciate it.
I'm sorry that I missed the live baby recording.
That's okay. That's all right. You've watched most of The Love Guru since then, though, haven't you?
I've watched most of it.
You watched the other half that Alexi missed, I think.
I watched up to a point, then I was like, I'm going to play a little Command and Conquer and then come back to it.
Yeah.
With a little bit more thirst. So. Mm.
And I need to ask, so far, what are your thoughts on The Love Guru?
I was surprised at Mike's hatred towards little people the most. He really... really fucking hates those.
Oh yeah,
people.
His treatment of Vern Troyer in this film is deplorable.
It's not okay. It's not all right.
It's not good stuff.
No,
not good stuff.
Well, you got to treat if you end up finishing the movie. You got to treat ahead of you because that's it. It stays the same. If anything, he increases his violence towards the young man.
Well, I tell you what, I loved the nerd bar fight with Tosh.0
mm-hmm. and really Mr. Rob Hubel. Who actually is credited as Ron Hubel in the credits.
Oh, whoops.
As a bit of a snafu in Hollywood to miscredit someone. A little bit of a faux pas, but it's okay.
He took it well. Yeah. After he was like, fine, that's okay.
Yeah, he's gone on to MTV's Human Giant and many other great things.
But I guess that would be the best way to... be part of the Love Guru is to be in a scene with Mike Myers and Romany Malco and Tosh.0, but also
Tosh.0 would be the big selling point.
For it to not appear on your IMDb because it's credited to another fake man.
Now, I got to ask you as well, we know a fair bit about your relationship to Mike and your love of the man, but after watching this half of the Love Guru, has your opinion on the man changed?
I mean, the Love Guru's like biggest sin was that it just was kind. It was I couldn't hate it nor love it nor I felt nothing about it.
Yes,
and so that was the first time, and it was an alien feeling, and I felt like alone, you know.
Because it's a movie.
Were you watching it alone as well?
Yeah, I was.
That is the saddest feeling in the world, to be watching The Love Guru alone.
At a desk on a laptop very close to it.
I think loneliness is what connects us all to Mike Myers.
Yes,
baby.
And when we watch Mike Myers as lonely people, we seek comfort and joy, but The Love Guru is unable to provide that for us. It is, like you said, you can neither love it nor hate it. And in its mediocrity lies its greatest crime against humanity.
And the last movie
have said that better myself.
The last movie that we did watch together was The Cat in the Hat. In comparison to that, where does a Love Guru rank? Above or beneath?
I would rather watch Cat in the Hat.
Really?
Than the Love Guru.
Because of Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, because I can hate on it.
Yeah, true.
It's a horrible film.
Now
you're a famous hater.
Tell us what it's like to be a hater.
Well, you know, you're very unhappy all the time. You know, I'll see someone on the street. What do you get out of here, bloody? And that just is everything.
Let me ask you that. You see some fool on the street. What do you say to him?
I say, get out of here.
Come on, dude. Come on, please behave. This is too raw for us.
We love to have a bit of a muck around.
I love that kind of shit, guys. Let me ask you guys a question now. 2008, where were you? Alexi, paint a picture of where you were for us.
Well, I was 17 years of age, just turned 17. And I was still in high school, year 11. HSC, the big school certificate, still... It was actually called the BSC, the big school certificate, was still a little while away. But I had the stress and angst of a teenager trying to figure out what's next in life. Sure. What direction should I take? Mm. I was at a crossroads, not unlike Britney Spears in the movie Crossroads.
Or when she stopped at a crossroads with a shaved head and got her photo taken by the paps.
Well, that was 1 year earlier, 2007, so I was
too young
still
to remember
reeling.
It.
Yeah, I hadn't actually switched on yet. Memories were not cognizant for me yet.
I was a 20-year-old boy. I knew what had happened.
Ben and I lived through that.
Really?
Man. Yeah, man.
All right, dude.
We're the real survivors.
What was it like back in 2007? Paint a picture for me. Where were you when Britney shaved her head off?
Dude, it was rough.
Awesome, dude.
I was 18 years old.
Yeah.
I was tongue deep in some babe.
Your balls drop yet?
Tongue deep in some babe.
Let the record show, it's extremely late at night. And we just watched a 90-minute video from 10 years ago.
Oh, God. Listen, I don't know. Where were you, Ben? Where were you in 2008?
Okay, picture this.
I'm picturing it, baby.
Earth. Pre-boom. The boom's happening, but we don't even know.
Wait, the weed boom?
The mining boom.
Oh,
wake up.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, Mother Earth's being raped by the Reinhardts.
Yep. And little Ben Russell. Little Ben Russell sits going, I'm going to be somebody. I'm going to go to improv school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Improv school.
So he goes off and he's about to go off on the big journey.
To America.
That was just before you left for the States.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Were any of these movies in 2008 perhaps an influence on you, realizing that there was a changing of the guard and perhaps a little scrappy boy from Perth was right behind?
Can I make one guess as to what the biggest influence was from 2008? Get Smart featuring Steve Carell, Dwayne Johnson, and Anne Hathaway.
No.
Zach and Miri Make a Porno by Kevin Smith.
Absolutely, dude.
Snitchy, bitchy. You'll listen to the Smog cast. We're two little wogs talking about the Smods.
So you were just about to go overseas.
Yeah.
And you're a big mic guy. You're about to go and follow in the footsteps of your hero in many ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was Toronto.
Sure.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess, sure, a hero is fine. Nah, just joking. That's serious business. He is a hero of mine.
Where were you in 2008, Cameron James? Let the record show. Stop avoiding me. Stop avoiding my eyes and tell us the truth.
Do you want the truth?
I want the truth.
Do you guys want the actual truth?
I want the truth.
You can handle the
truth.
Okay. I actually think you can handle
it. All right.
2008.
I don't know if I can handle
Newcastle, New South Wales. Me, 18 years old.
Far out. Your balls dropped yet?
Balls dropped. Tongue deep in some babe. Roaming around town.
Wait, data roaming? Because that's expensive,
that
dude.
Cruising around in my Mitsubishi Mirage, trying to make it as a musician, failing, thinking, what's in the future for me? Completely unaware that stand-up comedy and podcasting is the answer.
10 years later. Here all those years later.
We were all just babies.
What phone did you guys have back then? I had a Nokia.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big Nokia.
Yeah, I would have Nokia'd it up.
Yeah, I reckon the Nokia 5510 or some shit.
Man, I love that shit.
Yeah.
That polyphonic ringtone shit. I love it.
I could watch videos on mine. It was awesome. I could read SMH in the morning.
Yeah, man.
And Zoo in the evening.
For a little while, I had a Sony Ericsson. But then, you know how that, everybody knows how that story goes. Oh, really? How's that story going?
Oh, man, you know, Sonny Erickson.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Stop mucking around, mates.
Well, it was a different time. It was a different era. And when we watched this MTV Movie Awards video today, which, by the way, thank you, Harrison Engstrom, for uploading so much. For us.
We didn't upload it. He sent us a link to probably the world's most heinous website in history, pandora.jp.tv. We appreciated the link, and it was great to actually watch this, but my computer actually did shut down due to a virus about 3 minutes into watching this.
It did.
It was really scary.
Well, yeah, it was a scary experience for all of us, but
yep.
Maybe not as scary as watching Mike Myers host the MTV Movie Awards. I say we dig right into it, guys.
Let's get straight into it. We are talking about the 2008 MTV Movie Awards held at the Gibson Amphitheater in Universal City, California, hosted by Canadian comedian Mr. Mike Myers.
You know, it was interesting because it just took me, it started and then all of a sudden they did a little dance.
It was very odd. It does begin with truly, in the year 2017, a moment that shook me to my core. So it begins, Mike Myers comes out, he does a little patter, it's not that great. He does immediately plug the Love Guru, coming out 20 days later.
Back then, you know, the MTV Awards were all about advertising, not like what they are today.
Well, now it is a political statement.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It rocked the world when they took away the sex-based acting categories. No longer gender-based. Only about talents. And the most talented of them all, Emma Watson. I was going to say Miss, but... not anymore.
These ones did have some genderless categories already. It had best comedic performance, best villain.
Mm-hmm.
There was also some pretty blatant sexual harassment. Live
on oh, yes. Yeah, big really time. Strong encouragement thereof as well.
Weird. Speaking of that exact kind of shit, straight away, Mike Myers, after his patter, he gets interrupted. And who interrupts Mike Myers? Mr. Chris Brown, not the charming Dr. Vet from Channel 10's Dr. Chris Brown, famous vet man.
Bondi Vet.
You're not the Bondi Vet. It is...
wouldn't that be something, though?
Not the Chris Brown that is used to helping animals, but the man who is the opposite of that. He hurts people. And he hurt us seeing him up there again, Mr. Chris Brown.
Chris Brown got up on stage with our mic. They have a bit of a... standoff, and Mike says there's only one way to solve this, a dance battle. All of a sudden, some crazy hip-hop music starts. I'm like, whoa, what is this fresh sound? I don't
from,
even...
from one decade ago.
Yeah, what is this shit? I love this shit. And then some B-boys come out on stage. Chris Brown and Mike Myers dance battling it up. What do we think of their moves,
well,
guys?
It's the Sharks versus the Jets for the 2008 generation.
Brown v. Myers. Now listen, Chris Brown, one of history's greatest monsters.
Yes.
Up there with Fritzl, in my opinion.
And Dracula, Herman Munster, all of the great monsters.
Would you reckon Chris Brown will be the next in the Herman Universal, Munster? Universal Monsters
as himself.
Cinematic Universe.
He's gonna be.
My God, what have you done?
That's who Russell Crowe transforms into when he goes into Dr. Jekyll mode.
God. It's truly, truly horrific. But I got to say, at the time, I guess we didn't know. 2008. No. This is pre...
how were we to know?
They were together. They
and
were
the
shots
guy,
of them.
The guy can fucking dance.
Yeah, Cameron said, let's forgive the guy. Come on. He's dancing a storm up there.
And Mike's got some moves too.
He holds his own. That to me was insane because Mike is like 40-something years old and he held his own up against one of history's greatest monsters and greatest dancers. And then after it, he didn't even seem puffed out.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
But he's got that dance training too. He's a tap dancer, Mike Myers.
You know who else didn't seem puffed out? Puff Daddy, who was there.
You know who did seem puffed out? Seth Rogen. He puffed up a storm backstage, I'm sure, actually, back then. This is where weed culture finally went mainstream.
Yeah, it was so refreshing just to see young, you know, guys getting up there saying, I smoke weed.
Yes.
Saying, you know what? Yeah, I fucking bung on, bros.
And this is 2008. This is many years before Zach Galifianak got onto the stage of Bill Maher Tonight and lit up that Dugos and really sucked it down hard
really
before weed was legal in Australia and America. And we've got, really do have the pioneers of weed, the weed movement, like Seth Rogen, James Frankos, Zach Galifianakis, Zac Efronakis, and people like Vanessa Hudgens that really let weed be cool. And I'm really thankful for them because, you know, I wouldn't be here today as a weed comedian, the guy that talks about smoking weed up on that stage. These are my heroes. If it weren't for McLovin and like Jonah Hill and stuff like that, I wouldn't be here doing my thing. And this is the moment that changed it all.
McLovin's your biggest influence.
Dude, yeah, Fogel's my biggest influence, dude.
Oh my god, you're a fucking moron.
Oh boy.
Oh, I'm dying over here.
So, what do we think about this dance? We liked it, but it did cut the monologue short to about 30 seconds long.
That was it.
Do we think there was anything about that?
And I thought maybe after the dance, Mike would continue the monologue like they do at SNL whenever there's a crowd interaction bit. But he just threw straight to the first category.
And the first category was, what was it? It was best female performance.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Best female performance. And the presenters.
Hosted by Will Smith.
Will Smith. Jason Bateman. Charlize Theron.
All chanting when we say you say male. Female.
And they are, of course, the cast of Hancock. And when I say Han, you say...
Cock.
And they're like, hey, Han, come on, let's not do this, is what they say.
That's really funny.
It's a funny bit. And Will Smith really hypes him up. I think he may have detected that energy had lulled.
And, you know, he is an MC, so...
Yeah,
maybe have a little bit of respect.
And then Ellen Page wins for Best Film Performance for the film Juno. And did you know that was going to happen?
Come on, dude.
Sorry, dude. A bit of the whacker tobaccos today. So, yeah, I'm going crazy, guys.
Ellen Page, yeah, she's great. She's very talented. And very, can I say, MTV.
Very MTV.
A real slacker, if you will.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, she got that slacker Gen X mentality.
And she is cool. Can I say that?
I think you can.
Am I allowed to say that? She's cool.
Not on this podcast.
Okay. Well, I think
she's
cool.
Can we say cool on this podcast?
Well, I'm not sure. Can I?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'll say it. She's funny. She's sexy. She's cool.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
This is, I think, a turning point. This is when the youth begins to revolt. So I'm not talking about Michael Cera, a co-star in this movie. But this is when the films of this generation are starting to be recognized. Juno was nominated for many Academy Awards, including Best Female Performance, just like it won the MTV Awards. And I think that's cool. A couple of years before, we had Napoleon Dynamite winning the MTV Awards, but snubbed at the Oscars. Napoleon Dynamite was snubbed at the Oscars. And we're not seeing that kind of stuff anymore. That's what's cool. And she's about to kiss Jason Bateman on the lips.
Whoa.
When she wins the awards.
I must have freaked out and looked away at that
2008,
point.
Different time.
And after that was Best Fight, wasn't it?
Well, we had two very funny boys come out on stage. I'm talking about Danny McBride and Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Both came out on stage. Yes. Two incredible comedians. And this is just when the Foot Fist Way had come out. So Danny McBride, not the star he is now.
Yeah.
But we're watching kind of like...
So it's before Alien Covenant.
Yeah, before Covenant.
Before Alien Covenant, where he truly became a star and helped weed become mainstream.
Man, we're going to get a fucking alien and shit.
Like now, if you're...
Hey, you tell that alien I'm on, kiss on its pussy. Hey, you motherfucker. You fucking face hugger, son of a bitch, pussy.
Very good, McBride. Very good, McBride. But if I were to tell you McBride and Ferrell are together, you'd be like, holy shit, this is going to be some funny stuff. And let me just say, they bombed.
But they I think we thought it was kind of funny. They were talking about illiteracy, and it is kind of revealed that they're both kind of a bit illiterate. And 2008, that can happen. George Bush, still president. We are yet to see the hope build. Barack Obama, come on in, take charge of the entire world, win that Nobel Prize. I hope Mike Myers hosted the Nobel Peace Prize Awards that year as well.
In character as Guru Pitka.
Please, Lover comes out on DVD. Give it another chance, guys.
Give it another chance.
Yikes. Yeah, they stank it up big time. And it's really, this is the point where look at it.
They didn't give a shit. They didn't care. They were just there for the art. They got playing their movies. There and did it and then left.
McBride plugs Foot Fist Way at the end. Ferrell plugs Step Brothers.
Yes, and they just get a cheer after they've bombed for a minute. They're like, oh, whatever, let's get back. Let's just plug shit and get into the awards.
It's so weird. That's the point where you go, oh, this is a ceremony of people that have been contractually obliged to appear in this thing in order to promote the movies they're in, or because MTV must have some distribution, or whoever owns MTV must... Viacom, I think.
It's
fucking Viacom, man. Distributing things. So it's like you see celebrities like this show up, phone it in. The biggest one who phoned it in, IMO, is Ed Norton.
Ed Norton does come out with Liv Tyler.
Listen, Edward, if you don't do this, we're going to sue the pants off you again.
And you said that you thought Ed Norton was selling out big time presenting at these award shows.
He is, right?
But he was trying to bring up political awareness.
What did he say?
He said something about politics. I think he just said the word politics. Like, politics. Well, he's just like, guys, listen, we're about to listen to Coldplay. These are very woke blokes. We're talking Vita La Viva about to happen here, guys. And then he says, and remember politics. And he's like, all right, take it away, guys.
Do you do an Ed Norton, Ben?
No, I can't. I remember, guys, politics. No, I can't. I'll work on it.
Yeah, work on a Norton for next time.
Hey, guys. No, I just can't do it.
And listen, I'm a big Fight Club guy, so I see...
You love it. You got a poster up in your room.
Yeah, yeah. You are fucking the king, man.
Yeah, I know. I see... Look, I see... the narrator up there on the screen.
He's referred to as Jack. So,
a lot of people think his name's Jack, but really, if you've read the book, he's the narrator. And I look at that and I go, this guy, he's supposed to be taking down the banks. He's supposed to be starring Fight Clubs. You know, his name is Robert Paulson, all that shit. Yet I see him up there plugging fucking Viva La Vidos. I don't think so, pal.
He really did phone it in, but he didn't sell out. He didn't sell out. He had a message. And then 5 months later, Barack Obama, so.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Open a history book one time.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor. The only American History XI book. Oh, boy.
Sorry, so I'm wasting on those vapes.
We did skip all the way through.
Rip it and rip it.
I was just cutting ahead there because I had something I needed to get off my chest. You can respect that.
Yeah, cool. All right. That's awesome.
Robert Downey Jr. just said Coolio.
Yes.
As his thank you speech. Coolio.
That was great.
Yeah. Because he is the man.
Robert Downey Jr., this is 2008. This is Iron Man winning every award.
Iron Man just won best movie of the summer so far. And it is only June 1st. So there's like 5 months of summer left. So
best movie with a dude in a car. This next award is for the most awesome, cool dude.
What do you think, Downey Jr.? Because at this point in his career, too,
he's just had the huge comeback.
Just back. He's had Kiss Kiss Bang Bang just before this.
Yes, he's got the new Tropical Thunder movie coming out that's been getting plugged it up.
Ben Stiller,
Jack Black.
And now
Steve Coogan,
Matthew McConaughey, Tom Cruise,
look it up.
Yeah, Bill Hader.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's so really Downey cool. Jr.'s in a new renaissance, playing it like a very cool customer. When he wins that best actor award, what did he win?
Won best movie of the summer so far.
You're right. He gives a one-word speech where he just says Coolio and then he walks away.
But Jon Favreau was the guy talking it up and he was great. He was talking about Swingers when they won awards back then for Swingers.
Oh, you guys forgot to do your sponsors.
Oh, yes.
Oh, shit, yeah. Sorry, we should take a time out to mention the sponsors of today's podcast. Hey.
Hi.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Mic Check on your Zoom application today.
On the podcast Zoom app.
Please remember to give us 5 Zoom moons. from the Zune store.
And in your Zune view, please leave us your name and Zune for what you'd like our best new Zune ad to be all about. Perhaps it could even be, once you go black, you never go jack.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
Where we talk about the Zunes of Jack Black. Yeah, this movie was this award show was interrupted about this point for an ad for Zune, Orbit Gum, and Dove Soap.
The Orbit Gum gets another ad later on.
Yeah. Oh boy! Yeah. But of those three products, only one of those is still relevant.
And of course, it's Zune.
Thank you, Zune, for sponsoring our show. Thanks, we Zune. Love it. Everyone, you guys are listening on your Zune phones, probably.
The Zune phone did actually win the big battle for best phone.
Yeah, oh my God.
And then it's about this point where probably the most, I would say the second most exciting moment of this whole award show happens. Mike premieres a new character. Mm. We see a kind of mockumentary behind the scenes interview documentary about a woman who is an Aussie catering craft services lady.
Craft services.
Called, what's her name? Tristan Childs?
Tristan Childs.
Tristan Childs. And she is super funny.
She's very good.
It's a great sketch. It's funnier than anything in The Love Guru. He does a pretty good Aussie accent.
It's a fun accent. Even if it's got some problems, it's still fun. Yeah. Like, it's nice. It's good.
And the game of the character is great. The character does craft service to the stars and knows the favorite snack of every celebrity. So the producer off camera is just rattling off a list of celebrities that seems to be improvised. Mm. And Tristan is answering all of them with very peculiar and specific.
Yeah. A lot of them is Nutter Butter.
Yeah. The most recurring one is Nutter Butters. Nutter Butters.
Nutter Butters.
She's good. Funny.
And she loves Tofog.
Yeah. She loves Tofog, 30 odd foot of grunts. She did the catering for the Russell Crowe band video for Tofog, and she has a tattoo of them on her chest, and she does reveal that she fucked Russell Crowe.
Yeah. I mean, she says, really, we did some pretty intense lovemaking, and sorry if that offends you. Sorry if that makes you feel uncomfortable, but that's just the way that it went down.
I loved it. I give it.
How many zunes do you get?
I give it 4.5 zunes.
Oh, wow. That's off the zune scale. It only goes up to 3, so that's crazy.
This is blowing the zoonometer.
Can we? I mean, Mike does.
It's a bloody zoonami over here. We're getting too many. But this is super funny. I want to. Should we check this character?
Absolutely. I think it's a great character.
It's crazy funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
And it's so self-contained.
But also, can I just say that we're viewing this post seeing The Love Guru, so we are clutching at, we want Mike to be funny right now.
But I think,
I haven't seen the whole thing of The Love Guru, so I can vouch that The light is there.
Okay.
I think brightly.
Okay.
This is some of the funniest stuff he's done, and it's such a specific reference to 2008. Like Toe Fog, man. Biggest band in the world at the time.
Toe Fog, Viva La Vida.
Pussycat Dolls.
Yeah, the three biggest bands.
The three big
Donkey's band from Shrek, him and Puss in Boots. Some of the biggest bands in the world. And I think it's super funny, not just for that, but the kind of weird Australian specificity of the character's lexicon, where he meets Jessica Alba, who is his co-star in The Love Guru, and she is pregnant at the time. And he declares that she is as big as the Sydney Opera House, which I think is very, very funny.
That's a very common expression here in Australia.
Yeah, we use it all the time. Yeah, how big is your knob? Well, big as a Sydney Opera House.
Sydney Opera House.
And it left me with a question. Jess Alba, pregnant, just recently co-starred in The Love Guru for Mike Myers.
Something smells horny there.
And it was Mike at his most horny, so...
Yeah. Well,
maybe Mike's got a few extra tykes running out there. That's what I reckon.
Now, while we're talking about this new Mike character, I think we may as well focus on Mike heavily here. He does a couple of other characters. He also does a couple of little jokes between, you know, while as he's hosting, his hosting duties. Let's talk about his other character first.
Yep. The character who went by the name
Bucky Eisenstein.
Bucky Eisenstein. Animal trainer for Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
What do we think of this character? Let's describe... Ben, can you describe this character for
us? He's like just an old kind of hippie weirdo who loves animals and does a pet, like an animal wrangler.
Yeah, animal wrangler on movies, I guess. Has a mullet.
Yeah.
And thick glasses.
And it's going pretty... it's going pretty sort of the naturalistic to camera, this is about my life, while showing cuts of him playing with animals. And then all of a sudden, it just escalates in an unusual way. And I like it, but I'm not sure if I really liked it.
The same. I was like, oh, that's bold, but also I don't know.
I thought it was going fine without that, and they just threw in these things, these weird traits.
He does, the character does get stranger. He is a real oddball. He seems to be a little dim in the brightness department of brains.
And is
which
he,
is a proper term.
And
he's I didn't make it up.
He's gay with another, wasn't that other old man that was.
I think so.
Who's his uncle, Jack?
Yeah. Oh, that's his uncle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he called him Uncle Jack, but I don't know if it is his actual uncle, but I think they were a couple.
But you guys are brushing over the strangest part of the character, which is that he...
Well, I don't know what the strangest part is because there's two things. What's the one you're about to say?
Well, he has a sheep's hoof. For an arm.
Yes. Yeah. And he does say that he had his hoof so far up Sean Penn's beast hole at one point in time.
Yeah.
And then you may not have been in the room during this part. You might have been checked out. He ate shit.
Yeah, that's right. Shit.
He ate turds and revealed what animals had done them.
Yeah, I saw that.
And it wasn't just like one turd. He ate 5 to 7 turds.
And he named all the animals that they came from.
Of varying different... consistencies. Some
genus.
Some were quite solid. Others were a little bit nutty.
Okay. And I think you can. I think that, yes, I'm all for eating shit. As much shit as you can eat in sketches. I think it's funny.
Sure.
And it's sexy. It's cool.
It's horny and sexy and cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just don't think he's the guy. It's not him.
Well, he's done it once before in Spy Shagney. He drank diuretic shit from Fat Bastard.
Okay, I stand corrected. I'm sorry, but it just was out of. Was just.
It's
it just
very
came out
2008. Like we need to have something a bit gross out.
It's a bit 2008, to quote Fergie from around that era.
Yeah, so you think that eating shit was big in 2008?
Well, in American Wedding, Stifler famously eats
the benchmark, a watershed moment.
Yeah,
in the watershed moment for shit. Eating in comedy.
So Stifler did eat a turd to save face.
Yeah.
And if he did it, by God, anyone can. That's when shit eating became mainstream, man. It paved the way for dudes like me to go up on stage and eat shit every night.
So, Mike, what did we think of Bucky? I mean, I think I actually like seeing Mike work in this doco-style world where he's kind of being naturalistic and just... describing his career and his day-to-day to camera without really hamming it up.
Mm. Yeah.
But I do not love the hoof for a hand.
It is odd. It does break away any kind of grounding that this has in any reality.
Yeah, because Tristan didn't have any fucking weird...
I think I love the character, but the writing let you down this time. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
Only 2 zoons out of 5. Thank you.
Because...
Maybe 2.5. I'm sorry. It was good, but you know,
2.5 zooms.
You lost a lot.
Because you think that, like, if they didn't have the hoof, I could have taken the shit eating. I would have been
really. You can have hoof. One both.
The hoof blew it for me because it's so. It's like a cartoon character.
And
now.
Famously, you love hoofs.
The hoof. You're hoof man.
I'm a big hoof guy. Yeah. Yeah, I love the hoof around that little bean. You got
it. No. I'm sorry.
Don't worry. There's a whole context to it. Don't worry.
Hoof around that little bean.
Do you think Mike got jealous that Donkey and Eddie got to use the hoof in a manner like that? And he's like, oh, I want to hoof around the bean. And he installed one onto his own hand.
This is the first character he had that had a hoof and it made him feel good.
Yes, this is Mike's first hoofed character.
Do you think maybe that this is his sort of...
Do you think he's pretending he's the devil?
Well, he did say that he worshipped demons.
Yeah, the character does worship demons.
Oh, blessed be.
It was hard to hear him because he talked like he was deaf at points.
Yeah.
Can you do an impression of that?
No.
Yeah, he did. He did say he worshipped demons.
Okay.
Do you think this is Mike channeling his weird occult nature?
Absolutely.
In the Mike Myers book Canada, Mike Myers multiple times throughout his life had been stopped by Satanists who said that he had wonderful energy and said blessed be and then went on their merry way. Five or six times. Yeah. A lot of times. Do you think he's tapping into some of that demonic energy that's in his being?
Now that you've brought that to mind, absolutely. He's Mike has been gone on record as saying that Satanists are drawn to his chi or his
his aura.
His aura that he gives off, which is sort of a little
bit mojo,
mischievous.
If you will.
A mischievous, naughty.
Demons like my mojo, baby.
So maybe this is him tapping into that and going, you know what, I am a devilish character. Let's just embrace it for once and do this deaf voice. Which, wow. Can you do an impression of that? I also liked, he had one joke, Mike had a joke when he came back from commercial where he says something like, she invented penicillin.
Yeah.
I'm talking, of course, about Madame Curie. But I digress. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Just like totally...
making fun of the audience for being dummies.
Making fun of the fact that it's a
He's bloody, you know, giving them the old fob.
He's fobbed them off a bit.
He fobbed them off a bit.
Yeah, and it's funny. Mike can do that kind of thing and get away with it.
Because
he's like Rickles. He's like Rickles.
He had another great one where it comes back from commercial and he goes,
this is great.
She's blah, 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 and he's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's Rain Wilson and Megan Fox or whoever it was.
And last but not least, the other Myers bit was...
definitely not least. This is a historic moment in Mike history.
Yeah, where the old
old gang
the
gets
boys.
Back
gang
together.
Gets back the band. Together.
This is the first time where Wayne and Garth, Wayne Campbell, Garth Algar, are reunited since Wayne's World 2 in 1994.
So since the bust up.
Since the bust up. And I think it's a wonderful, beautiful moment. It's crazy that these guys, all these years later, are just so in character. They're just back in it like that.
Mm.
And there's moments where they're playing around, which is great. They don't have to stick to the lines too much. They're just feeling the energy. They're playing it by ear. And then they present a top 10 list, their most famous sketch.
And Dana... doing what he does best, you know, I think he really outshone Myers a little bit.
Oh, big time. What do you think Dana does best? Like, what do you mean by
comedy?
That?
Comedy. Really funny guy.
He does the character, character comedy.
Yeah,
like that.
He is. Mm. He's just a natural at it. They both slipped right back into those characters, but Dana is so great when he's in character. Mm.
Well, Dana kind of doesn't he still perform? Like
he still does stand up all night long.
He keeps it, you know, moving.
Yeah,
he's and you can tell
the muscles still finely attuned.
But yeah. I think at this point in time, I think it's only recently in the last few years that he's really come back, Dana Carvey, because he kind of went into a little bit of hiding after the failure of The Master of Disguise in 2002. Mm-hmm. He started raising his family, raising his boys up in the hills or wherever he is, and then he came down from those hills and back onto
and
the
scene.
And
he had a message.
And that message was a message of laughs. Yeah. And Trump is bad.
Yeah. Mm. He does a good Trump impression now-ish. He does an okay Trump
He's
impression.
Funny. It's fun. Come on.
But yeah, I loved this. I remember seeing it at the time and being so blown away. I remember it was the thing that I wanted to watch the MTV Movie Awards for. I've watched the clip of it multiple times online. Mm. They do some jokes that are pretty dated now, but would be topical. Like they reference Tila Tequila a few times.
Show love, yep.
When they're saying swing, she's very swingable.
Yep. And the top 10 list.
Pre her becoming
a Hitler.
Nazi.
Yeah.
Really?
Pre Nazi Tila Tequila.
Yeah, you didn't know. She loves Hitler.
Yeah, she loves him.
What?
Yeah. She thinks he's awesome. Yeah. You know that?
No, what the fuck?
You don't keep her with Tila Tequila?
No,
I mean. Oh, man, you gotta fucking just. Drop her a line.
Man, if I saw her on the street, I'd say, oh, get out of here.
Oh, come on. That's Russell's stuff. You can't say that kind of shit, dude.
Get the fuck out of here.
See what you're doing. I love it.
Okay. But the top 10 list that Wayne and Garth do is all 2008 movies, but with porn
parody titles.
We got some great stuff in there. What was your favorite one on the list?
My one was National Pleasure 2.
National Pleasure 2.
The Book of Secretions. That's funny stuff because it had a little flap down where the next part of the title came out, The Book of Secretions.
Yeah, that was good.
That's funny stuff.
Do you remember any of them?
I don't. There was one about the balls. Do you remember the balls one?
No.
Nah.
Dodgeballs?
No. Nah. I liked Alvin in the Chipmunks.
That was very funny.
That's rude. That's really rude.
I can't remember them.
And then number one, of course, Iron Man, which I predicted.
You did predict that.
I saw that joke a mile away. But also, I probably just remembered it from the million times that I've watched this.
Yeah, and this sketch was really big for me. I thought it was so funny back in the day. I remember me and my friend in this year, 2008, when I was 17, we had a free period together, and we would write down our own porno parody titles.
That's cool.
Inspired by this because we thought it was so funny and it was like two full pages, not just like in a list. It was like every little part was covered of this and we thought it was so funny. We'd share it with all our friends.
Can you remember any of them?
I remember for Looking for Ala Brandy, we called it Looking for Anal Badly.
That's a real stretch.
Yeah, hey, but it was
good.
Yeah. And there was a lot of other ones. There was... I'm trying to think of which ones I would most like to share on this one. I remember for ages, like, God, I want to think of one for the Joy Luck Club. I was like really trying hard to think about Joy Luck Club. And then someone just overheard me and said, hey, how about the Boy Fuck Club?
Yeah, of course. That's where my brain went first.
Yeah, dude. Sometimes that should have been a gimme.
You work too hard and the best stuff just passes you by.
Flog Boys.
Come on, dude.
Flog Boys 2.
Kings of Jerking Off.
See, that's great.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was really ingrained in me, this sketch. It really had a big impact.
The arsehole.
My biggest, my biggest influences are Fogel McLovin, and also this sketch. When it comes to
comedy.
I want to
do more Aussie movie porn parodies.
The Wankabees. That's the Wannabees one. The Crack.
That's great.
But it's spelled differently.
Yeah. Fanny Lewis.
The dick. Instead of the dish.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Now I get it and I love it.
Working Dog. Classic movie.
Working Doggy Star. Front bum. Instead of front line.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Snatch. He's the CEO.
This is great.
This is funny stuff. It's midnight.
Killing right now. It's midnight and it's official.
So
we're
you have
wasted.
To check. What do you guys think of those characters?
Well, I would check the Wayne's World sketch. I'll say it's great.
Yeah,
it's
great.
It's historic.
It's great. It's historic. It's great just to see them again. Mm. What do you think?
Yeah, I loved it. Absolutely. 100%. What about Tristan, the lady?
Bucky?
Yep.
Tristan, we like.
Tristan, check it. She's fantastic. I would love to see more of this character. Bucky, I'll check it. I'll say it's good. It's experimental. It's weird. It certainly is weird.
I liked Bucky. I just wish he didn't have that hoof. I'd like to see more of Bucky. I'd really like to see more of Tristan, especially because it's been a while since we've seen Mike in drag.
I love Mike in drag. My God. I hope
Richmond.
I hope he goes on season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race. I really hope Tristan, his character Tristan is on RuPaul's Drag Race season 10. I really hope he can win the crown.
RuPaul, if you're listening, don't worry about it. just don't send us a check for saving your butt.
I think one of the other iconic moments in this 2008 MTV Movie Awards is the Generation Award. And the year previously, it did go to Mr. Mike Myers. He did win the 2007 Generation Awards, which, I mean, it is weird that he did win it then. I think you're
getting... So why did, why did Tom Cruise give it then?
Yeah, Tom Cruise presented it to...
Adam Sandler, a.k.a. The Sandman.
He wouldn't stop calling him The Sandman, which is really weird.
I love The Sandman.
He's just a terrifying...
Can you please do more Tom Cruise giving an award to Adam Sandler?
Sandman, he's a guy. And... Wow.
He's terrifying to watch.
He's really
when
really
he's so observing. Intense
because he's so serious as well. Yeah. He does like three jokes, and it's all just about Sandman calling like little Nicky serious. That's not funny. That's boy, cool though.
Oh boy, yeah, he says Sandman a lot, and then the Sandman gets up to accept his award, and it's the best thing.
Yeah, it's quite good
in the whole ceremony.
He just is there with a live band. He does a parody. Not a porno parody like Myers. He does his own thing. A song parody of Nobody Does It Better. The theme to The Spy Who Loved Me by Carly Simon. And he's basically tooting his own horn, saying Nobody Does It Better. The Sandman does it best.
I'd barely call it a parody. I'd say it's a cover.
It's a few different
words. He changes a few words. He says, Nobody does it quite as good as me. And then he says, Sandman, you're the best. That's about it.
But it's the full song.
He does the full song.
He does the full
That's
song.
That's his acceptance speech.
And then his upset.
And then he gives an
He truly is the king of
speech.
Comedy and the comedian of 2008. Adam Sandler.
Nobody does it better.
Shame me, you're the best.
I loved it.
It's great. And because it's a fun way to do an acceptance speech to just go, yeah, this show fucking sucks.
Yeah,
just get my band together. Get Kevin James. Get Rob Schneider. Put Rob Schneider in a dress. Put Kevin James in a suit. It's where he looks best.
It was interesting that Tim Allen wasn't there. In the whole thing.
Why?
What would Tim Allen have said if he'd been there? Now, what would he have said?
What would he have said, Ben?
Well, do you reckon he would have said anything? Like, or do you think he would have been surprised by it? Like, do you think there's a moment where he's like, they're about to give the Generation Award. Could it be me? Am I up for it? And he's got it in his head that he's going to win it.
I'll give you some leader. Okay, Tom Cruise, he hasn't said the name yet. He says... I'm giving the Generation Award to...
And what's going through his head in this moment?
I could get this.
Yeah?
Okay, so Tim Allen's thinking...
Ugh.
And then Tom Cruise says, The Sandman, Adam Sandler. An absolutely fantastic note, I think, for us to leave on.
But wait, you didn't know who won Best movie.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Yeah, I left the room.
You left the room for the very end of the show.
So, guys, please break it to me gently. What won best movie?
In 2008, okay. The nominees were...
Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
Zack and Miri Make a Porno. Superbad. Juno. American Gangster. Transformers. Napoleon Bonaparte. Napoleon Dynamite. Shrek the Fourth.
And what one?
Only at a ceremony that was such mayhem can such mayhem come to pass.
And there was a certain guy out in the crowd who we did see a few times. We're like, what's this guy doing here? He's the only kind of he's the only person of his kind here. I'm talking people behind the camera, directors that don't appear on screen.
That's right.
Like Jon Favreau. Okay. And we're like, what is this curious figure doing here? This tall, slender man with foppish hair.
And that man's name was Michael Bay, the director of Transformers.
Wait a minute, are you
and
telling
the creator
me,
of Bayhem.
Are you telling me the 2008 MTV Movie Award Best Movie went
and the
to...
Golden Popcorn goes to Transformers. Wait, did you think you were going to get it?
For Santa Claus 5.
And then Michael Bay ascends the stage with Megan Earley 3 meters away from him. They when they accept the award together, they are very, very far apart. He's quite eloquent. He says, thanks to all the fans that helped me make this movie, okay. Transformers. And then he says a lot of shit, and Megan Fox doesn't say very much. And then she
if
leans
she could,
in.
Though, what do you think she would have
no,
said?
No, she says something.
She does say something. She says, the second one's going to be fucking awesome. And they cut out the fucking...
Oh.
And then and then that's it. There isn't any more. Mike comes out. He says his goodbye. He says, goodbye, everybody. See Love Guru June 20th. And that's the end of the show.
That's the closing line of the thing.
That's
of
it.
The broadcast.
There's a plea to see him, his worst film.
Guys, please see Love Guru June 20th and track down Pete's Meteor. Track down Pete's Meteor as well, guys. Track it down.
Check it out on Zune Tunes.
Check it out on iZunes. It's on there, guys.
Put it on Zune Movies.
It's only $48 right now on ZuneChannel.com. And thanks so much for viewing this on Pandora.tv.jp. Really, thanks,
we have
guys.
All your details.
And you're
we are watching
shut
you
down.
Right now through your webcams. I give this, if I have to check this MTV Movie Awards, 3.5 Zunes.
I'm checking it too. I'm going to go 4.5 Zunes.
I'm going to go 3.5 Zunes as well.
I actually really had a great time watching with this, boys.
Thank you for doing our show again, Ben.
My
thank
pleasure.
You.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us on Mic Check.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
No. No.
Well, you got a podcast?
Got a podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Tokyo Hotel?
Mm-hmm. You've got a TV show?
I've got a TV show. Come to, I don't know how long we'll be on the air, but I think it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And you got Aaron Chen tonight. Come along.
You got a brand new sketch?
Yeah, got a brand new, I went viral, guys.
Yeah, on Reddit.
Yeah, front page, man.
Loved it. It's a great sketch. Great Aussie trash and treasure. It's a really funny sketch. Check it out.
Check it out.
Check out Aaron Chen tonight.
Aaron Chen tonight.
Listen to the Tokyo Hotel.
Yeah.
It's really funny stuff, man. What do you think? What do you think Tim Allen would say if you were to listen to this stuff?
I reckon he'd look around. It's a little chinga.
Oh, I turned to Santa Claus.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Mic Check.
Thanks for having me.
Cameron James and Alexi Teliopoulos, please go to Zune Tunes and
or iTunes,
or
whatever
iTunes,
you're listening
whatever,
on. Come
and
on.
Give us 5 Zunes or 5 stars and recommend a podcast, a spin-off podcast you'd like us to do about a very specific actor. For example, if it were Tim Allen, what would the name of that podcast be?
Well, save it.
Yeah, someone write that one in.
Write that one in. I don't know how you'd spell it, but figure it out.
Yeah,
and send it through to us. Please chat to us on Facebook. We're called Mic Check, and on Twitter we're Mic Check Pod.
I'm on Twitter at This Is Alexi. You're on Twitter.
I am Cameron James. So chat to us there. We love you so much.
And just once again, thank you so much, Harrison Engstrom, for finding this video for us after we put the call out, that plead out, and truly finding a horrible, heinous website for us to watch it on. But it was all worth it because we had a great time watching this, and I think I learnt a lot about Mike and a lot about what makes me tick.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later, babies.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers. And we're clear.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, when I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.